Are you an accidental counsellor, often finding yourself giving people advice and telling them how to fix their problems? Watch this video as I discuss the most common mistake accidental counsellors make. Hi, my name's Rocky Biasi and I present the Accidental Counsellor Training all around Australia. And the common insight that people have when they attend the Accidental Counsellor Training is, wow, it's really hard to get out of the old habit of just giving people advice. Now, you might be thinking, well, what's wrong with that? Isn't that what an accidental counsellor does? I mean, isn't that what an actual professional counsellor does? Why would you go to a counsellor? Why would you go and speak to someone about your problem? Surely it is to get guidance and advice. Yes. However, oftentimes, that's not the best way to support the client that we're working with. You see, this is the common understanding. Here I am in my office where I work in my private practice and I see clients and I would have some who would walk in and say things like, well, I hope you can fix me. You see, that already begins the one-up power dynamic. And let's just say that they were to walk out of my office, or let's just say the person you're working with walks away from you feeling better and has made some wonderful changes in their lives that have supported the life that they want, whether it's at school, whether it's at work, wherever it is. The worst thing that could ever happen is that they would credit me for the change. I've had clients do this. You've saved our marriage. It's really not true. And you don't want the students you're working with or the clients that you're working with to abdicate their personal power and responsibility and help put you up in that one-up power position and hold you as the mentor and guru. So this is difficult because that's the common understanding of counsellors. It's you go to a counsellor and they'll fix your problem. Even the dictionary says that a counsellor is a person who gives counsel and advice. And yet the research is clearly stating, and I've seen this over 20 years of counselling work, that the most effective part of counselling and therapy is the rapport and the connection that the counsellor or the accidental counsellor can have with their client, right? It's this joining with them. This is why my hands are coming together. To be able to let go of your perspective, what you think is right, your moral value judgment, and to see the world through your client's eyes, to match them, to provide and to communicate them with them a empathetic understanding, an empathetic attunement. And that can be very difficult. This sounds very simple. You just go, well, that makes sense. But what is it? What about if they're talking about things that are abhorrent to you, that you have little tolerance around, and they're talking about engaging in that sort of lifestyle or whatever the case may be, to be able to see the world and come to an understanding of the other person, even though that is very different to how you would see the world, is really a difficult thing. It's much easier said than done. You see, the concepts of rapport and empathy to mirror back, to match the client, as I say, are very easy. Until we actually sit down in our role plays at the training and all of a sudden, as I've said to you before, people just say, wow, it's really hard to get out of that old habit. Now, what's the problem with advice giving? Here's a case study. Just recently, I was working at a school with a wonderful group of teachers and, of course, all of these concepts made sense and lots of nodding of the head, of people's heads. And yet when it came time for me to demonstrate some of the concepts that I was speaking about, we had one teacher come up and just take on the role of a 17-year-old girl in year 11. And, of course, this girl was asking, almost pleading, what do I do? And I would say things like, oh, I'm really not sure. Let's talk about this. Maybe together we can work something out. But I would never want to put myself in that one-up position. And it was a very frustrating and difficult interview where there didn't seem to be many options or solutions. And more I refrained from telling the student, in this case the teacher in the role play, what to do, the more and more even the teacher in the role play was able to come up with their best solution. They were able to accept the situation that they were in. They knew that it wouldn't be too much longer and they would be able to make a change in the environment that they were living in. But up until now, that was the best thing for them. Now, that was very uncomfortable for me, and it was very uncomfortable for the people watching, because we all wanted for there to be a nicer solution, a happier solution, a happy ending, I guess, where perhaps there was a resolution to this. And let me give you one quick example, because I know that this might seem vague, but in this situation, the student would say, "You speak to my mother." It was a problem with her mother and not enough freedom and the mother being too domineering. And so oftentimes we might say, well, that's a reasonable suggestion, or that's not a bad idea. Why not speak to the parent? Let's see if we can mediate. Well, of course, that would be part of a solution. But if you really listen carefully to, for instance, in this situation with this student, it may not have been the best solution. So I said, well, has that happened? Have you ever asked teachers or school counsellors to contact your mother? Oh, yes, and it's just gotten things worse. Mum's blamed me. Instead of racing ahead of the client, we need to work out where they're at and find out what they've already done, and not just repeat the old advice that they've received that hasn't worked. And then they walk away even more frustrated. We want them to have wins, to improve the quality of their life, but then to know and for them to accept, you know what, I actually thought about this and I came up with the solution. Our job is to guide them, is to guide them through asking good probing questions and allowing the client to reflect on those questions and come up with their own understanding. You see, this is the fundamental premise of the accidental counselor training, and that is it's based on solution-focused therapy, where the critical philosophy is that the client has the answers, the client has the best solutions to the problems in their own context. And our role is to walk with them and journey with them, asking questions, holding the space, even during lots of times of uncomfortableness and anxiety. We need to get comfortable with not knowing and uncertainty. We need to get comfortable with our own anxiety. If we are working super hard in trying to fix a problem, harder than the client, well, then whose needs are we responding to? We need to, if we can manage our own anxiety and be accepting of the fact that sometimes this problem is not going to be resolved the way I personally would like it to be resolved, but it's resolved in the best way for the client, through the client's eyes and in the client's context, well, then that allows the client to learn also to become comfortable with uncertainty and doubt, and also have the knowing that they can work through their own issues with guidance and with help. So then they come to their own unique understanding of the solution. I hope that some of these ideas and concepts resonate with you and are a reminder for those of you who have attended the training. If you were interested in attending the Accidental Counselor Training, go to www.accidentalcounselor.com. And I look forward to seeing you at one of the trainings around Australia. Thank you.